Psalm 107. This psalm was brought recently to my attention. It was a great blessing to me, and I pray that the Lord will help us here this morning. It might be a blessing to all of us here together today. We don't know if Brother David wrote this psalm or not. We can surmise that possibly he did. Yeah, there's no indication given to us directly that he did. It certainly sounds like Brother David, but it could have been Brother Asaph or some other. Nevertheless, the Lord put it in his word, and it is there for us that we might praise him and glorify him. It starts off in Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So an admonition to give thanks unto our great God and King, Jehovah God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks unto him. Why? Because he's good. And he's certainly been good to each and every one of us. It says here a qualifier to help us, or a statement that expands upon his goodness. For his mercy endureth forever. When the Lord is merciful in eternal things, that mercy extends unto us forever. And praise be to his name just for that. You remember in Exodus chapter 34 when Brother Moses went back up on the mount to get the law of God with those second tables of stone that he hewed out, that the Lord told him to hew out. And as he stood there, it says in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, Moses, there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. The first thing that the Lord says there, that he mentions about himself, that he is Lord God, and he's merciful unto the children of men. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He keeps mercy for thousands, and he enjoys doing so. The mercy of God can never be depleted. It can never be run to its end. He's merciful, and he loves to be merciful indeed. Because of that, we need to be thankful to him. Thanksgiving unto him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So the psalmist here, he begins to lay out some things that people in this life experience. Things that they go through, that the Lord uses to speak to their hearts. Show us our need of him. It says here in verse number 2 that the redeemed of the Lord should say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. To give thanks unto the Lord, to tell that he is good, and to declare that his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that redeemed, these redeemed, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And that's the truth. We who are saved have been redeemed. We've been bought back. We've been rescued from the hand of the enemy. Satan, who wants to kill us and see us utterly destroyed. Sin, of which he is the author of, that we fell into and that we, in our nature, inherited from our father, desire and pursue. And all of sin, what it does to us, it kills us. It destroys us. It compromises us. It compromises our families. It compromises and destroys our societies and our cultures, our people, our lands. He has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. We even, in our natural way, stand against ourselves in eternal things. And he's bought us back from that. He's redeemed us publicly from that. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, it went something like this. He gathered them out of the lands. There was no place that the Lord could not reach the sinner. From the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. He has redeemed from all places. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. There is a leaning in the context of the psalmist is dealing with the nation of Israel and what he knows there. But it is indeed a true thing that before the Lord saved his people, before the Lord saved us, we were just wandering, 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 wandering. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. The sinner without Christ is very, very alone. Oh, yes, there may be family that loves us. There may be our homes, our spouses that care for us. But in regards to eternal things, in regards to the need of the soul, in regards to security regarding eternity, it is a very solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry, thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And what's it say here? Then they cried unto the Lord. That of the Lord is brought unto us. That of the truth is brought unto us. The Lord tells us about our condition. The Lord tells us about our way. Thinks that we experienced and we had no understanding about why we would be so empty and feel so empty and so lost. The Lord's word comes unto us. He came to the we in the east. He came to we in the west, the north, to the south. And we understand that the Lord is there by his word and his revelation. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. The sinner without Christ and without the Word of God and without the truth of the Lord doesn't even really know he's in trouble. He may know that it's miserable. He may know that the world just doesn't and can't satisfy. But only by that light that shines from the Lord do we see our trouble. And oh, we see our trouble before the Lord. And we cry. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And you know what? He delivered them. He delivered them out of their distresses. I've got trouble, Lord. We know, we're brought to know by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that the Lord is there. And that He is a merciful God. And He's extended His truth and His salvation unto us through His Son. We see that we have eternal trouble. And they cried. We cry unto Him in that trouble, and He delivers them out of their distresses. In verse number 7, He led them forth by the right way. And that's what the Lord, when the Lord gets involved with the sinner, that's what He does, is He leads in a right way. That being destitute, previously in a solitary way, no city to dwell in, no understanding of eternal roots and a purpose in life and the life to come. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Brother Abraham, the scripture says he didn't find a city here. He sojourned. But he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And then the psalmist declares in this understanding of the redeemed of the Lord and their plight and their deliverance by the Lord, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Does the psalmist see that there's kind of a drought of praising the Lord? That there's a drought of glorifying the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy, for His wonderful works? He says, consider how it is with the redeemed, and let us praise the Lord for His goodness unto us. And then the next case that he brings before us is found here in verse number 9, regarding the longing and the hungry soul. For he, the Lord, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The Lord Jesus in the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter 5, if you would just go through the Beatitudes, you'll see things that are mentioned there regarding this. And the Lord is the only one indeed that satisfies the longing soul, filling the hungry. Remember the woman at the well at Sychar that we took a look at here recently. She was interested in water that she would never thirst again. Jesus said that he's the bread from heaven, that if a man eats of him, they'll never be hungry again. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. You know, that was something that was said when Jesus came, that he came there in Galilee of the Gentiles, and the people that sat in darkness saw great light. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and being bound in affliction and iron, because that's our case in sin. That's our case. We're bound up. We're in darkness. The shadow of death is upon us. The condemnation of God is at hand. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God. That's what the natural man is. He's the enemy of God, against God in every way, and contemn the counsel of the Most High. Naturally, we just don't care what God says. We don't want the word of the Lord. It takes and it challenges us regarding our sins. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus said it, men don't come to the light. Their sins are reproved when you come to the light. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. People today are working and working and working to try to be satisfied, to try to have peace, to try to find comfort. And there's no answer in this world. They fell down, and there was none to help. The Lord uses those things, and he brings his word, the word of truth, and he begins to show and to open eyes and hearts that there's nothing in this world that can help or deliver, and he takes and uses it. Verse 13, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. We've got trouble. Nothing I pursue and nothing that I do will work. Nothing that I go after and try to fill myself up. It's all trouble. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And what's it say here? He saved them. He saved them out of their distresses. In verse number 6, it says he delivered them. Crying unto the Lord, knowing and coming to a point by the Lord and his word to understand that the Lord is our only help and our only deliverance. Amen. That he is the one that has the answer for everything. Jesus is our all in all, the scripture tells us. If you're here without Christ, he can be your all in all too. He's the only one that can be your all in all. Receive him. Cry out unto him in your trouble. See, when the truth of God and the light of the Lord begins to shine, we see the truth of what God sees, the picture that God sees, that we are in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in eternal trouble. And he is the Savior of sinners. He's merciful. His mercy endures forever. How would it be if the Lord never told you and me the truth? We'd be wandering around in that solitary place, never finding a place to dwell that would satisfy. But they cried. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness. I don't know what's more descriptive of the Savior, the salvation of a sinner than that. He brings us out of darkness and brings us out from under the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder, the chains, the bands of sin upon the souls of men. He breaks it. He delivers. And then the psalmist declares again, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Can you believe that the Lord would do such a thing to a people so lost, so helpless, so miserable, and so far from God? But He does. His works towards the children of men indeed are wonderful, and His mercy endures forever. And then the psalmist gives us another perspective of the foolish and the transgressor. "For He, the Lord, hath broken the gates of brass." In that day, talking about a gate, if it was made of brass, it was formidable. You just couldn't easily go through a gate of brass. "And cut the bars of iron in sunder," a gate of iron. We just can't go there. We cannot naturally find the way. We are oblivious to know that there is a way. But the Lord comes and He breaks those gates, those bars in sunder. "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." The Scripture says that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And in being godless and saying that there is no God and just not dealing with God, we may not declare that there is no God, but by our action, we declare that we don't believe that there's a God to reckon with. We don't believe that there is a God that's given His word and given His command that sinners are to repent and believe and trust in His Son. Oh, the fool has said in his heart, "No God." But there are many fools that behave like there's no God because they don't hear and respond the word and the command of the Lord. May not say it, but sure live that way. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. See, when the Lord begins to show the truth to a fool and to a transgressor, nothing matters. Nothing matters but what they need. Nothing matters but their eternal stand before God. They go, it's a miracle of God. They go from not caring whatsoever, but by the Word and the Spirit and the power of God, they're brought to see that that's the most important issue that there is in their existence, is eternity. And their sin, and that nothing, they don't want to eat. They know that death awaits them, and without Christ, it's eternal destruction. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Crying unto the Lord. He's worshipped by sinners crying unto Him for our need. Again, we only know our need by what He tells us and what He shows us, what He reveals unto us. And He sent His Son, it says in Hebrews, that God has spoken unto us the world by His Son. And we have His Word that goes out, and that our church and we as His children are to put forward unto sinners. And that Word is the hearing, we pray, of the truth. And to those that the Lord takes that truth and brings it unto them, they're brought by the miracle and the mystery of the working of the Lord to cry out unto Him. And those that cry unto Him, He saves. They are distressed greatly because now they see the way things God sees things. And He saveth them. Verse 20, how do we know? How do you know what I've been saying here this morning is true? He sent His Word. He sent his word and healed them. And he sent his word and delivered them from their destructions. I'm on my way to hell. And he delivered. In Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what the Lord says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, the word of God, that we're the pillar and ground of the truth of that word of God as his church here. That word of God that we're to proclaim and we're to study, we're to hide in our hearts. That word of God goes forth, and by the miracle and power of God, he takes that word, and a fool, a transgressor, goes from not caring to hearing. To hearing with the ears, to hearing with the heart. And what's it say? So then faith cometh by hearing, by the miracle and working of God. The light shines, and from hearing the word of God brought to faith in our Lord. Crying out unto him. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. The psalmist in Psalm 116, he declares this, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. That inclining means the Lord bent over and heard. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beg you, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And what did the psalmist say? He heard him. He delivered him. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. Brother John writes in his epistle in 1 John 4, we love him, God, because he first loved us. And the psalmist again declares in verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He said, consider this next aspect and the way that the Lord works with the fool and the transgressor. Then we see here the sea mariners and those subject to the Lord's power manifested in the creation. They that go down into the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. He's in control of it. They mount up, the waves do, to the heaven. And they go down again into the depths. Most likely you've seen a video of some of these men on a ship where they, the one that I remember is in a tanker, and that tanker goes down and there's nothing but water that they're looking down in the gullet of that wave. And then when they come back up, they're sure glad they came back up. Then there's nothing but the stormy sky, and then they go back down and they do it again, and they go back up, and they may be in that for hours. For he commandeth and raises the stormy wind, verse 25, which lifteth up the waves thereof. That's the power of God. They mount up, the waves do, to heaven, and go down again to the depths. Their soul, the sailors, their soul is melted because of trouble. They've got to keep that ship going into the wind, or they will be swamped. They'll be turned over. They reel to and fro, standing in the quarters and the deck and the the captain, where the captain runs the and steers the ship in that. They reel to and fro, these sailors do, and stagger like a drunken man. They can't get a foothold. They are at wit's end. There's nothing to do. There's no perceivable or conceivable solution to this. They are at the end of themselves. You know, that's what the Lord did for me before He saved me. He brought me to the end of myself. I had nothing to consider, nothing to offer, nothing but to cry out to Him for help and for deliverance. When you're at wit's end, there's just nothing else. You're empty. You're spent. There's not even a far out possibility of help and deliverance. And it's good for a person to be brought to wit's end. It is a blessing to be emptied of self, to where there's nothing, there's no one to see but the Lord as our help. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, crying to the Lord again. We've seen it now this is the fourth time that we see it here where the psalmist declares this. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And this isn't a half-hearted appeal. Lord, if you'd be pleased to save us and help us, that would be nice. No, not worried about decorum, not concerned about how it looks in front of anybody else. Lord, help me! Lord, deliver me. I need help. I need help, and you're the only one that can help. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He delivers. He saves. He saves us, and He brings out. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. As the Lord Jesus did there on the Sea of Galilee. Peace, be still. Remember how it was when the Lord saved you? That's what the Lord had done with you, hadn't it? He said, peace, be still. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. There's nothing better than being delivered by the Lord, than being saved, than being brought out, than being delivered by Him. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. And we have a haven. Sinner without Christ, you can have a haven in Christ, a peaceful place, an eternally peaceful place, a rest where there is no rest, lost and dead in trespasses and sins. He bringeth them into their desired haven. And again, the psalmist declares it again the fourth time. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Consider the way that the Lord works in these things. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Four different things that He's given here. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation, publicly. Exalt Him in the congregation of the people. That's what we've met for today. To exalt Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to sing unto Him. Sing. Pray. Thanksgiving unto Him in every way. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Praise the Lord God Almighty. He is due these by all. By all. And then He goes on to give some other considerations that we can, we understand in life. He speaks about the farmer and the husbandman. God, He turneth the rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. He does that. a fruitful land into barrenness. He can take a blessing and just make it go away. He does so for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He did that to Israel, didn't he? He turneth the wilderness into a standing water. He's able to make it a water to abound again, isn't he? And dry ground into water springs. He's in control of it all. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. He makes it to where they can live there, where before they couldn't. They're able to sow the fields. They're able to plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. Verse 38, he blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Every blessing of life we have is from our Lord God Almighty. He can take it and make it a desert in a day. He can take it and just make it a bountiful place in a moment. Oh, that men would praise him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, it's a testimony of the fact that we need to be praising him and thanking him always. It says here, again, they are minished, or that is, diminished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He can take the blessing, he can make it all go away. Our Lord's been good to us rain-wise this year. But you know, it hadn't been too far away from us that they had so much rain that they had flooding and problems and issue. And then I would venture to say we could probably find a place to where it's pretty dry. Not too far away. He takes care and does all those things for us. And may we praise him. He also mentions here, the psalmist does, about the governmental minister appointed by him. He poureth, the Lord does, verse 40, contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. It sounds like our administration today, doesn't it? We don't like it. We grieve because of it. But it's not happening without the power and the allowance and the working of God. That means when we've had a good government or a better government, it's because of him. Maybe it's time we cry unto our Lord for a better government. Not just wallow in what we don't have or what we miss from previous blessed days. Maybe it's time that we cry unto the Lord for a better government, that he would deliver us indeed. He tells here about the poor and the lowly. Verse number 41, he does so that with the leadership of the land, but yet he setteth the poor on high from affliction. Again, I refer you back to what you remember, what the Lord Jesus said there in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor. Yet he setteth the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. He can just cause the poor and the lowly to abound. He's able to do it. Verse 42. In all these things that the psalmist has laid out, he declares, the righteous shall see it and rejoice. See, being saved by the Lord and being given his word and his indwelling of his spirit, we've been given an insight that if we will avail ourselves to it, we can look on at these kind of scenarios and we can find the working and the power of God, and we have the Spirit by which indeed we should praise him. See, the unrighteous, the unsaved, and the unrepentant and unbelieving, they're just walking around in a dry place. To them, everything is just kind of happenstance. Well, that was good. Well, that was bad. Well, that was good. Well, that was bad. There's no hope in it. There's no rhyme or reason to it. But see, from the perspective of the righteous, those that have been touched and saved by the Lord, we can say, well, I don't understand it, but I know the Lord's in control. I know the Lord can take this bad thing, as we would say, and He can take it and turn it into a blessing indeed. I know that the Lord will glorify Himself. And when we see the end of it and understand what the Lord has done, we will glorify Him for His goodness, that He is in control. Oh, that we would pray, we would praise Him for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, because the righteous enjoy rejoicing in our God. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth, because the Lord's in control, and He will put iniquity down. I'm reminded of what Brother Jeremiah declares, what the Lord declares, and by Brother Jeremiah in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in the riches that he has, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. We can see it, that we know that God is working, that it's not out of control. Even to the world, it may seem naturally that it's out of control. The Lord is working, and we can cry unto Him for the burden of our heart. We admonish sinners to cry out unto the Lord for deliverance from their sin and their iniquity, to be rescued by Him. He says, let us glory that we know and understand Him, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The Lord loves to smile and to enjoy exercising of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Verse 43 of Psalm 107, whoso is wise and will observe these things. That means we'll look on and see, to understand the working and the blessing of the Lord, to understand how it is right for men to cry unto the Lord in their distresses and their trouble, to cry out unto Him for deliverance from sin and iniquity, to cry out unto Him because of oppression and because of troubles and difficulties. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Jesus said that He didn't come to save the righteous, but He came to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come to heal those that didn't think that they needed a physician, but He came to heal the sick. Indeed. In conclusion, let us cry unto Him. We've seen this declared in verses 6, 13, 19, and 28. We can have, even as the children of God, we can have trouble and turmoil and difficulty. We can get our eyes and our sight off the Lord. We can get off in sin and become backslidden in those things. Or for the sinner that's at hand, you need to cry unto the Lord for the rescue of your soul. We need to all cry unto Him for His help, because He loves to be merciful, and He is worshipped in that. Just don't bear up under your burden solitarily and all by yourself, and maybe be led to grudgingness and bitterness and such as that. But cry unto the Lord. Admit your need of Him, and whatever the case is, let us admit our need of Him and cry unto Him. A hurtful thing that I hear from time to time is, well, it seems just like I go to the Lord all the time for what I need and what's going on in my life. Well, is there a problem? The Lord knows that. The Lord knows that. I just don't feel like I'm worthy to go to the Lord for anything. What do you mean? None of us are worthy, but we're made as His children worthy because of Christ, not ourselves. He says, come unto me. Ask the Father for what we need. And the prophecy that's there in Joel that's rehearsed for us in Acts. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, in the remnant of whom the Lord shall call. Are you saved? You've been called. Go to Him. Has the Lord showed you through His Word and by His Spirit that you're wicked and you're sinful and you're in jeopardy, in great jeopardy regarding eternity? Call upon the name of the Lord. Repent. As it says in Romans 10, verses 11 through 13, referring to what Brother Joel wrote, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him, on the Lord, shall not be ashamed, won't be confused and confounded. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Ethnicity has nothing to do with it. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then lastly, in our conclusion, cry unto Him and then give thanks unto Him. And rejoice in Him for His mercies. How did all this start off? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. See, the psalmist, he had in his heart, and maybe even in the rough draft, had those things down of those scenarios of how the Lord works, those different aspects in that. And he starts off. He said, I'm going to give you something that will help you to rejoice, to remember to rejoice in the Lord. And to give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let us be thankful. Our Lord's mercy has abounded unto us.